Anybody planted their garden yet? Flowers don't count. I'm just teasing. My parents and I used to plant this huge garden. It was at least an acre large. I mean, this was big. This is a big garden. Big garden. That's almost like farming, except you're not getting paid for it. You're just getting to eat a bunch of good vegetables, right? We used to grow this garden every year. The smell of that freshly plowed, disked dirt in the springtime and that excitement that you have. Of course, as a kid, I wasn't too thrilled about, you know, all the stuff that goes on with the harvest and all that you have to do, cleaning the cucumbers and getting the grass out of the corn. Silk, I learned that's what that's called later on. And all of that stuff that, oh, snapping peas and shelling beans and all that stuff. Jesus talked a whole lot about agriculture. A lot of his parables were about agriculture. I think it's because, first off, I believe it's a godly process, agriculture, planting and growing. And I believe the people of his day also realized what he was talking about, because they didn't go to the store to buy their stuff. They may have went to a market, but most of them even then knew what planting a garden was like and what that entailed. And I want us to look at a parable today, the parable of the four conditions of soils. It's in Matthew 13, 1 through 9, and we won't read the whole thing, but I'm going to summarize it for you. And if you're in doubt about it or if you're unsure, read it this week or tonight when you go home. Read this. It's in Matthew 13, 1 through 9. He tells the parable, and then later on in the chapter, he explains the parable, right? And same thing in Mark 4, he tells the parable and then later explains it. Mark 4, read the parable. It's usually called the parable of the sower, parable of the soils, things like that. Let's look at the main players of this parable. There was the seeds that Jesus compared to word of the kingdom. The word. And there was the soil, which Jesus compared to the heart of mankind. He says, sown in his heart. Okay? Now let's look at the four different types of soil real quick. There was the first soil. That was the soil that was beside the road. It was on the roadway. As you can imagine, it was probably packed tight, flat, dry. You know, hard people, that's where people walked. And the thing is, when seeds were scattered on this type of soil, they just laid there on the top or bounced around. So the evil one or the birds would come and just pick up the seeds. They didn't even stay there very long. Then there was the second type of soil, and that was the shallow, rocky soil. And the story is there, seeds could not take root in those seeds. And then any time persecution came, which was compared to the sun, any type of problems show up, and it's, Jesus said, is temporary. It didn't last very long. They dried up and died. There was no root. The third type of soil was the soil in thorns and weeds. Jesus says that they were choked out. The weeds choke the plants that you want to grow. And then the fourth kind of soil, that's the soil that we kind of want to be. That's a healthy, productive soil, right? You remember this parable, everybody? Okay. Now, there's some obvious lessons there that we get from the parable of the soils, and those are good, and I like those too. There's three lessons that I've learned recently about this parable that may be a little bit less obvious than the others. Number one thing that I learned about this parable is, and that is, the soil in every example that Jesus used is the same soil. Basically, it's just different conditions of soil. In other words, I wouldn't call it the parable of the sower or parable of the soils. I would call it the parable of the four conditions of soils. Because, let's say that we take that first example. You have a garden area here, and you know every year you plow up two spots, and you have a walkway that's in the middle, and that's where that hard-packed roadway is. That's where people travel back and forth. However, if next year I want to say, hey, I want to make my garden bigger, I want to use that row instead of for walking down. I want to use that to plant watermelons. So I'm going to plow up this. I'm going to plow it. I'm going to disc it. And then next spring, you disc it again. And then you get Mark to come over to rototill. You're welcome, by the way. Well, guess what? That soil is now just as good as this soil. Right? Are you with me? It's a very good chance that all four types of soil belong to the same plot of land. In other words, they're all the same soil. They just need preparation and maintenance. Preparation and regular maintenance. And it was the same kind of soil. What that does is it takes this parable from a lesson of be careful where you throw your seeds or the word of the kingdom. And it takes it to the meaning of prepare your soil, your heart, for the words. Don't have rocky places. Don't have roadways and hard spots. Don't have thorns. Prepare your soil. Maintain it. Healthy, productive soil needs preparation and maintenance. Now, here's why I say preparation and maintenance. The first two types of soil, it was that hard, packed-in soil. Well, all you got to do is plow that up, right? When you're doing a new piece of ground, you plow that up. You get it soft. You mix all those ingredients. You get oxygen into that dirt. Let it rest over the winter. Do it again in the springtime. Mix it all up. Softens it. Soften that heart so that it can take those seeds. When you throw a seed down on that flat, hard roadway type of ground, it just bounces around. The birds come and get it. But if you throw a seed down in that soft, good, rototilled land, that soil, it sinks down in there and it's able to get a root. Same with our heart. It's preparation, like the rocks. As you're getting the, as you're plowing it up and disking it, you get the rocks. If it's a new piece of property, you got to get those rocks out of there. Because if you plant something, then that rock is underneath it. It's not going to get any roots. So you got to prepare this soil. And the third one is the weeds or the thorns. You got to continually maintain. You don't get to go and hoe one day in your garden and then you never have to worry about weeds anymore, right? I wish. That's not how I was raised. That's not how we did it. Get those weeds out of there. So it's not about sowing your seeds in the right spots. It's about preparing and maintaining your soil for productive growth. Lesson number two that I learned in this. Seeds are the promise of the fruit to come. Now, I'm going to tell you why I think this is so important for us. I love learning this. In Matthew 13:23, it says, "On the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. See, the whole goal of this parable was to take a seed from seed to fruit, to nurture a seed into fruit, right? That's the whole goal. The manifestation of the promise. The seed is the word. That's the promise. If you have a watermelon seed, that is a promise of a watermelon. You don't get to eat the seed and taste watermelon. You have to plant it in good, healthy, productive soil that's got the rocks and the weeds taken out of it, and it's loose and soft, oxygenated. And that seed is a promise of what you're going to reap when it comes time for harvest. The manifestation of that promise. It's the same with the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom is the promise of fruit to come, which is the manifestation of that promise. If it's planted in a healthy, well-prepared soil and maintained properly, you will harvest the manifestation of that promise. Now, that's very valuable, and I'll give you an example of this. John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken unto you, so that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." In John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." These are seeds, words of the kingdom. These words we plant in our hearts, in the soil of our hearts. They are promises of the manifestation to come. Right? Okay? Peace. When that peace is planted in that good soil in your heart, and you keep the weeds out, the worries, you keep the rocks out, you've got it plowed up and it's good, oxygenated, soft soil, then ultimately that seed will produce peace in your life. It will manifest at the appropriate time. The manifestation of the promise, just like that watermelon seed, is the same as this manifestation of peace that you will get. Some people may say, "Well, I'm really worried about the economy." You've just planted a seed. And that's what we got to be careful of. Jesus compares the weeds to worries of the world and deceitfulness of riches. Weeds, their goal is to choke out the plants that you want there. Because for some reason, weeds love, they are so appreciative of all the work I've done in that soil, right? But I get nothing from them. But their job is to choke out the other plants so they can get all the attention, all the water, all the food, all the nutrients in the dirt. The goal of worry is to choke out the word of God in your soil. And if you allow worry to choke out the word in your soil, that promise of manifestation, it will die. And you won't get it. That seed of forgiveness, love, that seed of healing. Maybe you've been praying about joy. It will only be able to produce fruit that it represents if you plant it in well-prepared and maintained soil and given the appropriate time. Lesson number three that I learned here, the soil does not grow the seed, however, the seed needs the soil to grow. The soil does not grow the seed. However, the seed needs the soil to grow. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, duh. Yes, however, how many times do we, or does mankind in history, try to help or assist the promises of God to manifest in our life? We read through the whole Old Testament is full of examples of people trying to help God with his promises in their life. Abram and Sarai, and they thought, well, oh, we'll just, we can help in this situation, and they got Hagar to help with them. That's, God was like, that's not how this is supposed to work. King Saul was another one. He was supposed to do a sacrifice before the war started, but he was ready to go to war, but he wasn't supposed to do the sacrifice until the prophet got there. And he's like, ah, let's go ahead and do it. We'll help God out. Every time you see mankind try to assist and handle and take responsibility for the manifestation of a promise given to them by God, they fail and usually wind up in a very low spot, and God has to come and save them, right? Now, of course, none of us here have ever done anything like that. I see... I see sometimes people that get so caught up in they want, let's use faith as an example of a seed. They want faith. They want faith so bad. Now, everybody is given, if you're a Christian, you have faith. It took faith to become a Christian. So you have faith. All right? So we want to grow our faith, and we're like, oh, you know, what do I do to grow this faith? And you plant these seeds of faith in your life, but you want to dig, you want to help that seed grow. And you're like, okay, what do I do? What am I doing wrong that I'm not seeing the manifestation of this seed? Have you ever thought that? My promise isn't growing fast enough. I think what this parable teaches is you're responsible for your soil. God is responsible for the growth of that seed. Now, that takes a lot of pressure off of us, though. If I want joy in my life, and so I read all the scriptures about joy, but I'm nervous about it, why don't I feel the joy? Maybe if I forced myself to dance, I will feel joy. Now, it makes other people laugh, but I don't feel the joy, right? And we try to do, what can I do to help this promise get on its way? Sometimes we just have to say, listen, I'm going to let God do this. I'm going to take care of my soil, my heart. I'm going to make sure my heart is in good condition. There's no rocks and weeds in there. It's not hard. It's soft and pliable. I'm going to let God do the growing of that seed in your life. Amen? What do I do to get this healing? Why haven't I got my healing? And we get so worried about trying to make that seed grow that we forget to take proper care of our own soils. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. When you take responsibility for manifesting your promise, you're hindering God's ability to grow that promise. Even if it's just worrying about it, we have to trust God. So let's look at the application of these three soils and those three lessons. What does that mean in terms of receiving the words of the kingdom in our hearts? That first soil was packed. We've got to keep it pliable. Have you ever known someone that just wasn't understanding what she was trying to say, and you're like, it's just not sinking in? That's how that seed feels when you throw it onto that hard ground. It's not sinking in. Now, I want you to realize Jesus says that this hard packed ground is when the seeds are sown, the words of the kingdom, but the person doesn't understand it. This isn't a matter of intelligence. This is a matter of a hardened heart. You would understand it if your heart was softer. Now, some of you probably in your jobs or in school or whatever have come across people that you're trying to explain something to, but and they know it all. You're not going to teach them anything. Anybody know about somebody like that? Are there any teenagers in here today? Okay, while they're gone, you know what I'm talking about already, right? Because when you hit that age of like 15 or 16, you magically know everything. Not every teenager is like that. I'm just teasing. But if you've ever tried to teach somebody something, they're like, no. There's hard as hard. You're not going to get any more information in there. They are full up. That information, that soil is packed tight and hard. What needs to happen is we need to get in there. We need to dig it up. We need to turn it upside down. Rototill that bad boy. We had a plow on the back of Dad's tractor that would turn upside down about 12 inches at least of dirt. Every fall, let all that dirt get exposed. We have to be soft and pliable. Be open for what God wants you to do. Huh? That's a tough one, but we've got to do that. Matthew 13:15, in that parable, Jesus says, "For the heart of this people," he's quoting Isaiah, here when he says this, "For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and I would heal them." Oh, if they would understand. You know, he was dealing with people that had studied the scripture, knew every prophecy, most of them by heart, and here's the prophecy standing right in front of them, and they were like, no, this is not how it's supposed to happen, right? Goodness sakes, I don't want to ever be guilty of that. Well, that's not how it's supposed to happen. That's not how church is supposed to be. Well, where does it say that? It's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Amen? Because there could very well come a day that you're going to know why you believe that, because somebody's going to challenge you on it. Ephesians 4:18, Paul said that they were being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because the hardness of their heart. Never stop learning. And with this attitude, you're going to understand. I tell you what's interesting about the Word of God. There is a growth that I'm seeing in this church about the Word of God. And it's exciting. And it is alive. I was raised in church. I went to a Christian school. I went to a Christian college. And yet, I've learned so much in our Wednesday night class that just this year, stuff that I did not know. You know, I've read through it many, many times. I've read the whole thing. And all of a sudden, I'm learning stuff that I never knew before. It's exciting. Be open, inductive Bible study without preconceived ideas, right? Be open for what God has for you next. The rocky, shallow soil. Now, this is a tough one, too, because this one hurts a little bit, because those rocks in your soil, those things that are hidden that possibly only you know about. No one else can see them. They're under the surface. Those rocks. But what they do is they keep the seeds from taking root. Sometimes maybe it's a hurt. Maybe you've been hurt at another church. Maybe you've been hurt at this church. Now, I know, that's silly. Forget I said that. That's not going to happen. But maybe you've been hurt somewhere, and that hurt, you've kind of held on to it. You want to forgive, and you want to forget it, but it's still in there, and that's a rock that's under the surface. On the top, everybody walks by and says, hey, good-looking soil. That looks good. Everything's fine. But underneath, you've got these rocks, and when a seed, a word of God is planted in you, that promise is planted in there, it's not going to be able to get the root that it needs. And it's going to wither and die the first time someone hurts your feelings again, first time you get some type of persecution or frustration. Sometimes those rocks are for unforgiveness. I want to forgive, but I just can't forgive, you know, and you have that in there. No one knows about it, just you. But it's going to keep the seeds of the Word of God from growing in your life. Okay? Maybe it's shame. Maybe you feel guilt about something that you've done in your past. Let it go. Let it go. You don't need that guilt anymore. God's forgiven you for that. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to dig. And we're going to have to dig those rocks out of there. Now that hurts. That's uncomfortable. I have to expose that. And that's not easy to do. But if you want the Word of God, the seeds of the Word of God, the manifestation of the promise, you're going to have to get those rocks out of your soil. What part of my soil, what part of my garden, Lord, do I need to inspect for rocks? James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Many of us have these little things in our life. They're hidden, they're under the surface. We need to produce fruit, and in order to do that, our seeds need to take roots. We need to get those things out of our life. Take stock of your soil. The third kind of soil was a soil with thorns and weeds. This is another one that at first it looks great. We've got sprouts coming out, little bitty watermelon leaves coming out, right? Everything looks great. This is going to be wonderful. What you don't see is those little bitty microscopic seeds of crabgrass and thorns and stickers, right? And you can't just get them out one time. You got to continually, like every, how often do you guys and gals, how often do you hoe or got your garden? Somebody? Daily? Yeah. I'm telling you, if we could figure out how to eat thorns and crabgrass, we'd grow really good gardens. But for some reason, yeah, you have to get out there pretty often. Have you ever let a row go? Yeah. And your watermelon doesn't do too well that year, does it? We got to get those weeds out of there. We're going to have to watch for that. Now, understand what Jesus compares the weeds to. Matthew 13:22, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. In other words, that promise that God gave to you, you don't get the manifestation of it. You don't get the fruit of it because of the worry of the world or the deceitfulnesses of riches. Now, the problem is worries don't start off full-grown plants, do they? The weeds, they don't start off. They start off real small. Oh, they're a little tiny. No, they're going to be bad. You take a couple of days off and you come down there and they're just taking over your garden. That's how worry is. Oh, it's just a little bit of worry. I just watched this video. It says, you know, something about, oh, you know, Putin's war. Yeah, it's just crazy. I don't know. And you start meditating on that. And in a week's time, you're coming back and saying, Pastor, Russia's got a nuclear bomb pointed at Choctaw, Oklahoma. Worry grows. And if you let that grow, it'll take that word of God, the promise of God, and they'll choke it out. We have to have an attitude that says, in my ground, the word of God takes precedence and priority over everything else. And everything else that looks like worry, if it looks like the deceitfulness of wealth, it's going to get hoed down immediately. Hoe it down. The deceitfulness of riches doesn't start off with you winning the lottery either. The deceitfulness of riches is if I just make a little bit more, if I just make a little bit more, if I just a little bit. And pretty soon, it's deceitfulness of riches. See what happens? For cinematic effect. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being wealthy or rich. I'm saying Jesus said the deceitfulness of riches will choke out the promises of God in your life. Luke 21:34 says, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness, and the worries of life. We have to be on guard because those little weeds will grow up around our plants overnight. We have to get in there and hoe those things down. We have to watch. Jesus, this reminded me, God, when in Genesis 4, God goes to Cain. And he warns Cain. This is before Cain killed Abel. And he's like, why are you so long-faced? Why are you so sad? Your countenance has fallen. And he says this in Genesis 4:7. He warns him. And he says, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is for you. But you must master it. Do we live life like we're aware of sin crouching at the door? And it wants you to fail. But we must master it. I think one of the biggest problems in our church today is we allow little worries to creep in. They become big worries and they destroy the promises of God in our life. Don't let those little weeds take hold. They will grow and ruin your promise from God. Your heart, your soil, it needs to be prepared. Mix it up, get it soft, get it ready for the seed. It needs to have all the rocks taken out of it, right? Get rid of the shame and the mistakes and your past and unforgiveness and hurt. Dig it up and get all those things out of there, all the pollutants out of your soil so that it'd be good, healthy soil, and then maintain it after you get those seeds of the Word of God planted in your life. Maintain it. Keep out the worries. Don't let those worries grow up on you. Trust God. Trust His timing. Trust that the seed of the promise of the Word of God will manifest in your life. If you need peace, there's peace for you. You have to let that seed grow and manifest in your life. And remember this, every soil is repairable and fixable and has the potential of 100, 60, and 30-fold. Every soil has that potential. If you would, stand with me, please.